our stuff really prepares us for eternity. It checks what's going on in my heart every single day. And ultimately, it reveals, it shows who I'm living for, who I'm serving. So what do you need to do tonight? Take out your Bible. We're going to use it. Everybody got their Bible? Say, Word. All right, open your Bible and have an open heart to all that God wants to speak and do in your life tonight. Take out your lesson plan. Everybody got a lesson plan? Lesson plan. Take notes because you're going to want to refer back to this. And then at the end of the service, I'm going to have the worship band come back out, and we're going to have some time to respond to God in worship. So don't plan on rushing out. Plan on reaching up to God and connecting with Him in response to what He speaks to your heart. Sound good? All right, let's pray, and then we'll dive in. Father, thank You for the opportunity to come and study Your Word. You promised that when we would know the truth of Your Word, that that truth would set us free. And so I pray that tonight as we study, You would set hearts free. People that are struggling with their resources, struggling with their finances, not knowing how to do it right, I pray that You would set them free to live the life that You designed for them to live. We trust You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go ahead and open your Bible to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And then go to chapter 12. We're going to pick it up in verse 42. What is stewardship? Jesus tells a parable about two kinds of stewards that'll give us some insight. Verse 42, the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying in coming,' begins to beat the male and female servants to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." So here Jesus tells a story about two different kinds of servants. One that does what he's supposed to do with his master's stuff, and then another one that kind of forgets that he's supposed to be a steward, starts thinking that he's the owner, the master, and he begins to act like the master, treats the servants harshly, begins to use his master's stuff for his own indulgence and pleasure. And you know, sometimes we fall into that same trap. We forget that we are stewards, and we begin to think that we are owners. And so on your lesson plan, pull it out. You'll see two boxes there. One says ownership. The other one says stewardship. Ownership versus stewardship. In the ownership box, write, "It's my stuff." And write that, "It's my stuff." In the stewardship box, write, "It's God's stuff. It's God's stuff." Go back to the ownership box and write, "I have wants. I have wants." Then go over to the stewardship box and write, "God has works. God has works." Ephesians tells us that God has good works prepared for us to walk in from the foundation of the world. Back to the ownership box, right? "I earned it with all my mad skills. I earned it." Back to the stewardship box, right? "He loaned it. He loaned it." Then finally in the ownership box, right? "It's for my pleasure. It's for my pleasure." Then in the stewardship box, "It's for his purposes. It's for his purposes." So here's the difference in the mindset between ownership and stewardship. If I've got an ownership mindset tonight, I think it's my stuff. I've got wants. I earned it. Therefore, I'm going to use it as I please for my pleasure. It's really all about me. But if I have a stewardship mindset, I recognize it's God's stuff. He has works for me. He's loaning it all to me. Therefore, it should be used for his purposes. And it's really all about Jesus. So which one did you come with tonight? Did you come with ownership thinking or did you come with stewardship thinking? Because see, God owns everything. And everything we have, he gave us. If you're taking notes, in Haggai 2:8, God says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies." God says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine." So think about your bank account. How much money do you have there? Like somebody said, not enough, you know. Now, if God said, "The silver and gold is mine," how much of your money do you have in your bank account? Zero. You've got no money. It's all God's money. Now, if you've got a negative account balance, that's yours. That's not God's. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth." Even the ability to work a job, to earn a living, to get a paycheck is a gift from God. You don't have the ability to earn if God doesn't give it to you. James 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights." God owns everything. Say, God owns everything. Now say it like you mean it. God owns everything. If God owns everything, what can I own? Nothing. So look at that ownership box and cross it out. There is no ownership. You don't get to own everything. God's the only one that owns anything. All we're left with then is stewardship. Say, I am a steward. And you're like, I don't believe it. Did you come here with God's stuff tonight? How many of you came here with God's stuff? Do you have clothes on your back? Who's that belong to? How many of you drove a car? Who owns that car? How many of you got a job? Who owns that job? So you came with God's stuff. So if you came with God's stuff, what does that make you? A steward. So say it again. I am a steward. There are three things that God gives us responsibility to be stewards of. Three main things that God gives us responsibility to be stewards of. That's our time, our treasure, and our talent. Our time, our treasure, and our talent. So let's look at those tonight. The first thing God gives us to steward is our time. Back on your lesson plan, you'll see time there. Write in, you can't save it, you can only spend it. When it comes to time, you can't save it, you can only spend it. Look at Psalm 90, verse 10. Look at Psalm 90, verse 10. Right in the middle of your Bible, just kind of open it up and it'll plop open there. Go to chapter 90, verse 10 says, "The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80. So here the Bible says, God gives you on average about 70 years. If you eat tofu, don't go to In-N-Out, you might live to be 80. But for the majority of us, 70 is what we get. In fact, in America right now, the average life expectancy is 69.3 years. Right? What God said, you get about 70 years. And so jump to verse 12, and he says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So if you live to be 70, that means God gives you 25,550 days. Now, I don't know about you, I'm 42, and if you count from my birthday till today, I have spent 15,557 of my days. That only leaves me with 9,993 days to go. I'm learning to count my days. See, because you can't save time. All these things that say, hey, you can save time. No, you can't. You can just spend it on something else. All right, how many of you have leftover time from yesterday? Anybody? See, there are no rollover minutes. You don't get to heaven and say, God, I've got 7,000 rollover minutes. Do I get another year? And God's like, nope, nope, that's it. You spent all of it. You spent all of it. You can't save time. You can only spend it. What does the average American spend their time doing? Well, watching TV, not all of it. On average, you spend about 9 hours a day working, about 7.5 hours a day sleeping, about 2.5 hours watching TV. If you've got kids, you spend about 1.5 hours caring for them. Spend about 1 hour eating meals. Spend about 1 hour doing household stuff. 1 hour with your personal hygiene and looking good. About 1/2 hour of exercise, and leaves you with about 1/2 hour of discretionary time. And then you've spent your 24 hours of this day. And why is it important? Write this down. God gives us time to acquire eternity. God gives us time to acquire eternity. God gives us time to acquire eternity. The question is, are you spending any time on eternity? Are you spending any time on eternity? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talking about this, talks about how you build a life, and he says, there's no other foundation that can be laid except that which has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ, but let every man be careful how he builds. Because you can build, as the metaphor goes, if you build with eternal things, you're building with gold, silver, and precious stones. If you're building with temporary things, you're building with wood, hay, and stubble. And he says, in judgment day, you've got to pass from this life into eternity as through fire. If you've got gold, silver, and precious stones, no big deal going through that fire. But if you built your life with wood, hay, and stubble, what happens is you pass through that fire. Boosh. Just all gone. And we're going to get to heaven, and some of you are going to be there and be like, dude, you smell like smoke, because none of your days were spent on eternity. You'll be saved, but you'll be saved as through fire. So the question is, how do we spend our time? How should we be spending it? Paul said, walk circumspectly. Take a good look at your life tonight. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do you realize that the days are evil? And the world wants to take your time for evil things instead of eternal things. So you've got to take a good hard look at it and understand what God's will is. What should I do with the time that God gives me? Well, first we need to realize that we're stewards of it. Say, I'm a steward. Say, I'm a steward of my time, not the owner of it, so we should spend it on some eternal things today. What are some of the eternal things we can spend time on? Well, first, you can spend it on reading your Bible. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. When you're reading your Bible, you're doing something eternal, and that'll stick with you for eternity. Praying is something that you can do that is eternal, talking with God. How many of you pray for your meals? Say grace before you eat. I don't know why we do that in America. You go to In-N-Out, it's going to be good. I don't have to ask God to bless it. It's good. You go to Phil's, I don't need to ask God to bless it. It's blessed. Look at it. It's good. Right? When I was in Africa, I was like praying, God, please bless this. Don't let it kill me. Right? Instead of praying that God would bless our food, say, I want you to at your meals times, think if you could just say, God, bless our church. Bless the Rock Church. Bless Miles. Bless the pastors. Imagine what would happen if all of us at The Rock were to pray three times a day, God bless our church. There'd be 45,000 prayers bombarding heaven every single day for God to bless our church, and we would be investing in eternal things as a church. I want to challenge you to do that. Another thing you can do is to share encouragement with someone. Hebrews 10:24 says, consider one another, how you could stir each other up to love and good deeds, especially as you see that day approaching. Encouraging people is investing in eternity. So I want to do a little practical exercise with you tonight. Take out your cell phone. I know you're not supposed to have it on you in church, but I know you do. Pull it out, all right? Flip through your contact list and pick somebody at random. If you didn't bring your phone, you can do this when you get home. Just pick somebody at random. And I want you to send them a text. And I want you to send them the text, I love you, praying for you. Just do it. And some of you are like, I don't get any signal in here. I have AT&T too, I know. But just send that text. We did this at Impact, and one of the guys texted his brother-in-law, just texted, I love you, and just sent it to him. Didn't know that his brother was going to be filing divorce paperwork on his wife that day. And he came home from work early, was wrestling with this, struggling with it, and he's on his knees in his bedroom saying, God, if you don't want me to go through with this, you got to send me a sign that you care about me and you'll help me with this. And all of a sudden, his phone's all bzzz in his pocket. He opens up and says, I love you. And he's like, whoa, God just texted me. And he dropped the divorce paperwork, reconciled with his wife, and they're working through it. You may just have changed someone's life right now because you took 30 seconds to send them an encouragement. Spend time. It's not hard. Spend a little bit of time on eternal things. We're going to have some time to worship at the end of the service. Don't rush out. I know you want to, you know, think I can save 10 minutes of being in traffic if I jet out right away, but you won't save it. You'll just spend it on something else. Instead of going home and watching SportsCenter, why don't you connect with the center of the universe, God Almighty? And let's spend some time worshiping him in response to what God speaks to our heart. So God gives us time to steward. The second thing God gives us to steward is our treasure. Back on your lesson plan, you see treasure there. Write down, you can't keep it. You can only return it. You can't keep it, you can only return it. What do I mean? Well, we already established that God gave us everything, right? So if God gave me everything, there's really nothing that I can give him. I can just give it back to him. You ever re-gift something? Right? Married couples, young married couples always do that, right? With all the stuff they don't want that they didn't get a gift receipt for. All right, they end up getting candlesticks from them or something. My wife and I, we actually got a gift from somebody once that had the original card still tucked in it. I didn't know who to send the thank you to, you know. But it's like that with God. We can't give God anything. We can only return to him the stuff that he's given us. We're, in a sense, re-gifting to God every single day. What does it look like to return stuff to God? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In the Old Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, what does it look like to return stuff to God? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his own heart. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So God gives us money like seeds. And he wants us to understand that we reap what we sow. Anybody ever plant a garden? We just planted a garden with our kids. I got 2 5-year-olds. We planted a garden in the backyard. We got zucchini coming out of our ears. We went down to Home Depot and bought this seed. And imagine if I had just kept that seed and said, hey, kids, look, we got seeds. Look at all these cool seeds, right? And every day I pull them out and say, hey, look, we still got seeds. And they said, Dad, that's lame, right? Because everyone knows seeds should be where? In the ground. God gives us money like seeds. They don't belong held onto. They belong sown into eternal opportunities that will grow into something glorious for God's sake. God gives us money like seeds, so we should return it to Him bountifully. If we return it to Him bountifully, we will reap bountifully. And He promises that if we would do that, He would always give us an abundance for every good work. Some of you are living leaner than you need to be because God knows if He were to give you more, you wouldn't do anything good with it. See, here's the point. God doesn't bless us to increase our standard of living. God blesses us to increase our standard of giving. God doesn't bless us to increase our standard of living. God blesses us to increase our standard of giving. What would happen if God were to give you a grip load of cash tonight? Would you invest it in something eternal? Or would you say, oh, I'm going to get that new car because I got this beater junker car I don't want to even look at anymore, right? And I'm going to buy a new car and I'm going to put new rims on my new car so they're shinier. And you know, we would just blow it on all of our own stuff. We need to return to God bountifully, not stingily, not minimally. We need to return to God purposefully. We tend to be impulse spenders. You ever go to Costco for milk and walk out with like a $400 bill? Right? Because, oh, I got to have that. And we're impulse spenders. And so we tend to be impulse givers. We didn't really purpose to give, but gosh, the offering came back and he put in something. And I guess I should put in something. It's just kind of an impulse thing instead of talking to God and saying, God, what do you want me to return to you this year? Talking to your spouse, talking to your kids, what are we going to return to God as a family this year? We need to be purposeful about it. And then Paul says we need to be cheerful about it. You ever find yourself saying, oh man, I gotta have that? All right, and the new iPhone was coming out, I heard a lot of people say, oh, I gotta get me that, gotta get me that. Or you know, see girls walking by Nordstrom's like, look at those shoes, gotta get me those, you know, and gotta get it. What if we had the same attitude towards giving? And we ever heard anybody say, I gotta give. I just can't wait till Sunday. They're calling up the church on Wednesday saying, can I give? I don't want to wait till Sunday. I gotta give now. I gotta give. What if we had the same enthusiasm for giving that we have for getting? Paul said we should give, we should return to God bountifully, purposefully, and cheerfully, enthusiastically. Why is this important? Write this down. God gives us money to check our hearts. God gives us money to check our hearts. God doesn't need you to do anything for Him. He just wants to check your heart. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He said in Matthew 6, 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other, or be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. See, when you write a check, it's a heart check. It's a heart check. Some of it, your heart's out in the parking lot, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about. If you walked out and there's a big dent in the door, wouldn't you be heartbroken? Or some of you, your heart's in your closet. You got enough shoes to outfit a small African village, right? That struck a chord, huh? You know, we spend more money ensuring our stuff than we do returning to God. As a nation, we spend more money every year insuring our stuff than we do giving to the things of God. That's a heart check for us as a nation. Where's your heart tonight? What should we do with the treasure that God gives us? We need to realize that we are stewards of God's stuff. Say, I'm a steward. It's starting to sink in that we're stewards, right? We don't own it. It's God's stuff, and we need to return it to him. We need to return it to his praise. The book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 8, God says, why are you robbing me? And the people say, we're not robbing you. And this, God says, yes, you are, in tithes and offerings. Bring it all into my house that my house would be full. If you've got praise for God in your heart, it's not an effort to tithe. That's the heart check. Is there praise for God in my heart? If there is, I'll want to give to his house so that people can come and find a place where they can praise him. We need to return it to God's people. God loves fellowship. Take someone out to dinner tonight that can't afford it. You're returning to God. Open your home to a small group. Let your mortgage be used for more than just putting a roof over your head. See, if you love money, you'll use people. But if you love people, you'll use your money. Return it to the poor. Proverbs 19:17 says, he who gives to the poor lends to God. You say, well, I'm poor. Somebody give to me. Do you own a car? That puts you in the top 8% of the planet. You know, only 8% of the world owns a vehicle. We're blessed. We're rich. And the heart check for me when I see someone less fortunate than I am is there any compassion in my heart? Is there any compassion in my heart for those that are less well off than I am? And do I return what I have to the poor? Then I can need to return it to God's purposes, evangelism and missions. See, life isn't about getting stuff. Life is about getting saved. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? We need to ask ourselves, are any of my resources going to help people get saved? Write this down. It isn't a sin to be rich. It's not. Not a sin to be rich. It's a sin to die rich. God didn't give you your wealth to hold on to it. He gave you wealth, gave you money, gave you the power to earn it so that you could return it to his purposes. First thing God gives us to steward was what? Ooh, let's try that again. First thing God gives us to steward is? Second thing God gives us to steward? And the third thing God gives us to steward is our talent. Look back on your lesson plan when it says talent. You can't write it down, choose it. You can only use it. You can't choose it. You can only use it. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. All the way to the back, go to Revelation, and then back up a couple books, and you'll hit 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as each one, listen, has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Listen to that again. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God gives each one of us gifts, talents, abilities. We don't get to choose them. We receive them from God. You ever heard that idea that you can be whatever you want to be? Well, that's a lie. You can only be what God made you. Right? I wanted to be an NBA player. It didn't work out for me. Right? God didn't give that talent to me. Right, or that idea that if you work hard enough, you can accomplish all your dreams. People are coming out of college being fed with all this garbage that, you know, you're special, you're a snowflake, you get a trophy just for showing up, life's going to be great, and all these things. And they say, oh, I can do anything I want to do. And then they get out and they can't even pay rent. They're back with mom and dad going, what happened? I thought I was a snowflake, you know? No, see, the great task of being young is finding out what God gave you, discovering what God gave you, who he designed you to be. And then the great task of adulthood is using what God gave you for his glory. You can't choose it, you can only use it. God gives us gifts and abilities based on what he determines, not what we desire. Why is this important? Write this down. God gives us talent not to show off, but to show his grace. God gives us talent not to show off, but to show other people his grace. Now, I know on TV you watch America's Got Talent or American Idol or Dancing with the Stars, and the culture is trying to tell us that, no, if you've got talent, show it off so that you can become rich and famous. Look what Peter says. He says, we are good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, God gave you your abilities so that you could be an expression of his grace. If you know how to paint, go sign up and be an expression of God's grace to the firefighters. If God's given you a cooking or baking gift, make cookies for all the guys that are going to go paint. If you don't have that gift, don't bake those cookies. We've had them. They're not that good. If you're a doctor, minister to people who can't afford health care. If you're a music therapist, reach out to kids with autism. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Whatever your talent, use it to show people that God cares. You are stewards of your talent to be ministers of God's grace. So the first thing God gives us to steward is what? The second thing he gives us to steward is what? Third thing God gives us to steward, our talent. God gave you talent. Use it to show other people his grace. Not to show them how much better you are than they are. Show them how great God is. We are stewards. God gave us everything. We need to use it for his glory. So let's say it one more time. God gave me everything, so I'm a steward. So use your time. Spend your time on eternal things. Return your treasure purposefully and cheerfully to God. And use your talent to show other people God's grace. Now I'm going to have the worship team, the vessels, come back out and lead us in worship as a response to what God's spoken to our hearts. And maybe you've forgotten how much God has given you. And in this worship time, you just need to stop and tell him thank you. You've been taking him for granted. You've been taking all your blessings for granted. You've been living in the ownership box when that's God's box. And you need to get over to the stewardship box. You need to tell him thank you. And maybe tonight you've been needing a heart check because you need to tell God from the bottom of your heart that you're sorry because you've been mismanaging his stuff. And you need to have him push the reset button on your life. Whatever it is, as we worship him, don't rush out. Spend 5 minutes telling God that you love him, telling God that you're grateful, and committing your heart to use your life, your stuff, your time, your treasure, your talent for his glory in this world. Amen? Let's stand. I'll pray for you, and then we'll worship. Father, thank you for the simplicity of your word. It just lays it out. It's all yours. And you've given it to us for your purposes. Help us, God, to spend our time on things that are eternal. Help us to return our treasure, not to hang on to it with greedy hands, but to give it with a cheerful heart, knowing that you'll bless it and grow it into something glorious. Help us, God, to begin to minister to other people with our talents, not for compensation, not for pats on the back, but for your glory, that people could see how great your love is. So God, continue to minister to our heart, continue to cause these truths to sink down deep in there. May we not be so busy that they just bounce off and get snagged away by the devil, but may they grow into the fruitfulness of a life fully yielded to you. And we trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.